Blog Talk Radio.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble's face. You won't see him again. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, American.
Welcome to another exciting show with Southern Sense on Blog Talk Radio. So turn up the volume and enter our chat room, or grab your phones, call in, and join the conversation. Help us to restore the republic to this country and inspire the majority to be silent no longer.
Well, look me straight in the eye. Tell me what you see. I'll tell the truth every time. Yes, you can count on me. I've got the backbone, American. I've got the heart, American. I've got the will, American. Will you stand up, don't sit down? Stand up, don't back down. Stand up, shout it out. Stand up, let's make it loud. American, 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 American.
Oh, here we are again. Another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with my debonair, intellectual, and oh-so-sophisticated co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Mikey.
Good afternoon, Annie. It is great to be here, fresh off the Chicago Blackhawks winning the Stanley Cup last night on the 25th of June, 2013. Always a pleasure to be in your presence and always excited to talk politics. And for those who want to know more, southernsense.web.com. You can find Annie networking everywhere and anywhere. So I will post that in the chat room shortly. But I actually had some time to actually go on there. I've been there before, but I've never really explored. Wow, you're going high tech, Annie. You're going to have to, one of these days, be a professor and teach. Some of these networking tools I didn't even know existed.
Yeah, if you go to our website, southernsense.webs.com, and there's a link for it in the chat room, plus on our show page, you can find my blog, you can find my Tea Party link, you find the link to Stitcher. I think I have a link up there for iTunes. We're on YFrog, Rebel Mouse. We're also part of TeaPartyCommunity.com. We're all over the place. We're all over the place. And now with Stitcher in your car, you can now listen to us as you are driving without having to worry about missing the show. So I want to welcome everyone. Hope you all had a great weekend. And congratulations, Mike, on your hockey there. But while you were watching hockey, I was sitting on a hard bench in the county council battling them once again and didn't win, did not win. We ended up with higher taxes. But what cheered me is that when I fought them the first time, the vote was 8-3 for the taxes. When we fought them this time, it came a lot closer. It was 5 to 4. I'm sorry, 5 to 6. 5 against 6, 4. So we just missed that one vote. And, I figured we made headway because we converted two people. But that's what it takes. That's what it takes. You've got to be there at the grassroots. You've got to be there at the very beginning and get these fools while they're still on your local level before they end up on the national stage.
Yeah, well, and hold them accountable at the next election for higher taxes.
Yeah,
we had quite a firestorm yesterday for the local Kent County Ryman, and for the Republican Party, they voted not to be part of the Obamacare, at least for now, and the governor was very upset, and the Republican rhinos who were there were held accountable. there are definitely finally some people spoke up. So, including one old lady, one older lady, I should say, who was very rude, funny rude, where the girl, the state representative, went into her speaking. And Annie, have you ever noticed how these people talk down to everyone? As if somehow they're just so intelligent.
Yeah, that's what I had with one of our county council members. He had this smug look on his face the entire time. And there were seven of us that stood up and spoke against these taxes. And there must have been maybe 30 people. So that you had seven in there, that's a pretty substantial number of the crowd. And just the look on his face, I just felt like getting up and I wanted to smack him. But trying to be as polite as possible. You know I am a northerner in a southern state, but, oh, God, I had to hold myself back. But
You've been there long enough. This lady yelled while she's talking. She was doing an explanation. She was not the best speaker, but you know, she, who is? Well, anyway, and then out of nowhere, she screams. I mean, just wipe that smile off your face, right to the state representative. I thought, great, she got a rousing applause, that's for sure. But anyway, so be it. That's the way life goes, and life goes on.
The three that should have been voting against this tax increase that they just imposed on our county are up for re-election next year. And I already got a phone call from someone who wants to network with us to have these men sent packing. So, you know, that's what I said, grassroots. And this is where it starts, and this is where the solutions are going to come from. Those of you that listen to our show know that we start off all our shows with a dedication to a fallen hero. And usually we do it for military, but this I chose was a law enforcement officer. So there is no background music for this at all, Mike. So we're just going to go forward with this, and let me get my notes here together. So this show is going to be dedicated to South Carolina Lawrence County Deputy Sheriff Roger Rice, who was shot in the line of duty July 14, 2011, while assisting with the Fountainhead Police Department in apprehending a murderer. And this is from the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office. A Lawrence County deputy was shot and killed in the line of duty. Sheriff Ricky Chasen said Deputy Roger Rice, a recent graduate of the Sheriff's Academy and a married father of two, died when he was shot by a man under investigation in connection to a murder investigation in Fountain Inn. Deputies were at a home on Barrel Stave Road in Clinton about 11:30 p.m. assisting the murder investigation. Chasen said the man inside the home, later identified as Benny Ray Brown Jr., opened fire, hitting Rice and a civilian at the home. Rice was rushed to Lawrence County Hospital, where he was pronounced dead, Chasen said. Deputies returned fire on Brown, who was barricaded inside the home, according to Chasen. The sheriff said Brown was injured and taken into custody. He was transported to Greenville Memorial Hospital, where he was being treated for his injuries. They were described as non-life-threatening, and he has since been released. The sheriff also said the unidentified civilian was going to be okay. During the news conference, an emotional Chasen described Rice as a dedicated, determined civil servant. He said Rice was in his late 20s and graduated from the training academy 6 or 7 months ago. He was married with two young children. He said he was filling in on the late-night shift for another deputy. Rice had been with the sheriff's department since January of 2010 and originally worked at the detention center. He was very dedicated. He was at the office most of yesterday morning obtaining warrants, then went home and got some sleep, and was back up at 5 p.m. to start to work the night shift again. Rice lived in the Great Court area of Lawrence County. Chasten had to notify Rice's family about his death. We have pain. It's a brotherhood. It's a sisterhood. Your family. You get to the point that they are literally your family, and you don't want anything to happen to them, Chasten said. The sheriff said the man accused of killing Deputy Rice was no stranger to the Lawrence County Sheriff's Office. Brown was arrested on a criminal domestic charge in June. He was out on bond on that charge when this happened. We dedicate this show to all of the brave men and women who defend our country within the borders and without, to those that have served, who are serving, and or will serve. We dedicate this song, My Name is America, by Todd Allen Herndon. You can find him up on YouTube and at toddallen.com. God bless these men and women.
I fought for my liberty. I paid with the blood of my people. Freedom has never been free. Now my door's always open to dreamers and friends. When I'm attacked, I protect and defend. My name is America. I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get stronger. And I'll rise up from the flames, and I'll always stand proud and free. I'm America, don't tread on me. America is my name. My strength was not taken from others. Others gave it to me. They believe in the virtues I stand for, my respect for humanity. Now I'm challenged by tyrants who envy my power, but their vicious deeds become my finest hour. Because my name is America, I stand proud and free. My name is America. Don't tread on me. I cannot be broken. I cannot be shamed. If you hurt me, I'll get
That's Todd Allen Herndon. My name is America. Mike, we got ourselves a great show lined up for here, us here, and a great guest. You ready to rock and roll?
Oh, I am always ready to rock and roll. And when don't we have a good guest? But today we have Lady Di.
Hi there.
Diane Belsom of the Lauren County Tea Party. Good afternoon, Diane. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How about you?
All right. I had to laugh because we got the chat room up and it's really packed in there. And someone typed in there wanting to know if anyone kept count of all the Obama scandals. And I just typed back that if we list all the scandals that Obama has, they would make the encyclopedia look like a pamphlet.
Could be.
Yeah. Now, you recently testified before Congress about the IRS scandal. Why don't you give our listeners a little background about yourself?
Okay. What, you mean just with the whole lawsuit issue, or the
no? Just kind of... something about yourself so they get to know you, and then we'll go into that.
Oh, okay. Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm a homeschool mom. I'm just a patriotic citizen. I've always, you know, done a little bit with politics, but never as much until the Tea Party movement started. And I think it was back in early 2010. Well, we had a, let me back up. I had gotten an email from American Family Association saying, hey, we want people to do a Tea Party rally for Tax Day in your community. And this was back in 2009. And I'm like, well, I don't know what I'm doing, but I'll sign up and do one. And that was the start of the whole thing. So we did our first rally in April of 2009. And then I ended up meeting with some other Tea Party leaders from around the state later on in the year. And I found out, wow, some of these people, they didn't just have a rally. They started having monthly meetings. And so I'm like, well, we really need to do that. So the following year, we started having monthly meetings. And what I had done at the rally and other events that we did, I'd get people's emails. So I was doing a whole email thing with people, like if we something, you know, we needed to make phone calls or sign a petition or whatever, I was just doing that. So when I sent out an email saying, okay, we're going to start meeting, and we ended up with 25, 30 people at the first meeting, and it just went from there. So we've met once a month every year since then, and we just had our fifth rally this past month. So that's kind of how I was just kind of morphed into this. So it's kind of amazing.
Yeah. Now, when we formed our group here in 2009, we did it in May. We were a little late starters. But we had a huge discussion about whether or not we wanted to become incorporated or not.
Right.
And at that time, California had the Proposition 8, and a lot of the conservatives were being attacked publicly. Their names were being published and everything. And we looked at it and we said, well, we really don't want government scrutiny. And around that same time, there was a company called Tax Cheat Stamp. And they were up around, I think it was on Neil Cavuto or something like that, where he was being harassed by the IRS. And it was funny, he was being audited, you know, because he was going after Timothy Geithner, and not for defacing currency, but for his taxes.
Wow.
And we looked at that, and we said, no, we don't want government, you know, to be sticking their fingers in. So we chose not to do that. But
yeah.
Whereas you did choose to do it.
Well, you know, it's kind of funny because it was at one of our statewide Tea Party meetings where I remember asking about this with the other leaders because I'm like, well, I mean, it's not like I know what I'm doing, you know. I mean, it's not like you get a manual like, well, this is how you start a Tea Party group or anything. So, you know, the other people were advising me saying, well, you know, you need to incorporate with the state if you're going to collect dues, which we wanted to do, and you need to incorporate with the state of South Carolina, and then you file with the IRS for 501c4. You know, most churches are a C3, but a C4 is you can actually endorse candidates. You can even give money to candidates if you're a C4. So, you know, we were like, well, we want to do that, and so we'll follow the C4. But, yeah, I mean, it's weird when you're filling out the paperwork. You fill out lengthy paperwork and pay a $400 application fee, so it's not free to file. But it does give you kind of a creepy feeling because, in a sense, we're protesting against, you know, things our government is doing. And it's like you're giving the government then all this information, and as we see, it's, you know, kind of seems like it's being used against us, and it's disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, because there was also that supporter of Mitt Romney that ended up having his... He was taken and he was put out in the middle of the media and, you know, excoriated because he gave to the marriage group, John Eastman's group, the National Organization for Marriage.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and that donor was exposed, and then donor lists were popping up all over the place, and then they go after the Koch brothers, and it seems like simply because you're a conservative, you're a target.
Right. Yeah, so it's disturbing, and, you know, we filed the paperwork back in, you know, I think it was like July of 2010, so we're coming up on July 2013, this is nearly 3 years where they haven't even said yes or no. I mean, if somehow we don't qualify, then just tell us, you know, but there's been dead silence. I mean, well, first there was dead silence for a couple of years, and then they sent us, you know, lengthy letter with, you know, wanting all kinds of information. And really, I thought some of the groups had even worse stories than mine in terms of the level of harassment, and they never did ask for any of our donor lists. But, you know, and I don't know. I mean, the ironic thing is we have so little money. You know, when I was testifying before the representatives, one of them asked me, well, how much money does your group have make every year, whatever. The first year was like 2,000 something. The next year was like 3,000 something. And they literally started to laugh. I mean, we're not talking about a lot of money here. So it just obviously just, you know, you're being singled out for harassment purely because of your political beliefs is all I can conclude. So
yeah. Now, I remember that first South Carolina Tea Party Coalition convention, and Joe Dugan was pushing for us to become a full member. And I was hesitating because I'm saying, wait a minute, you know, it's one thing for me to be here, you know, and I ask whoever from my group to come voluntarily, but it's another thing to expose all the members, because I was hearing rumors about demands for the email list and so forth. And I says, I really don't want to put my members in jeopardy, you know?
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why. That would have been, I mean, because, I mean, I'm, you know, my group's part of the Tea Party Coalition, but it's not like I've ever turned over a member list to them. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's still all private. So I don't know if that's really an issue. But, you know, and I was never asked to turn over any of my members. I mean, the only people they had were the original officers, which you have to list when you file the application, and maybe one or two other names that came, you know, like our treasurer changed over the course of time and stuff like that. But, you know, so basically they didn't have a list of people. But I'm actually just concerned in terms of with all these things coming out, are they looking at all my emails? Can they just look at who, you know, is the government looking at who is on my membership list, you know, because they've hacked into my email? I mean, I don't know, but that certainly crossed my mind. So I think really, to a certain extent, you have to be willing to say, I'm going to take a stand, or, you know, or it's game over. You know, we are going into a very serious situation with our country. I feel like we're basically living in a police state. I mean, just these different cases come out all over the country of these different abuses. Even I was just reading this morning about the high school student who had the NRA shirt, and, you know, now he's, like, arrested and facing possibly a year in jail. And I'm like, this is insane. You know, he did nothing wrong. He was exercising his First Amendment. He was just wearing a T-shirt that said, support the Second Amendment, with a gun on it. You know? And I'm like, you know, this is a police state. This is really scary. And the time to make a stand is now. You know, if you say, well, I'm afraid, I don't want to be targeted. Well, none of us do. And who knows what's going to happen. But either stand now or live with the consequences. So that's how I feel about it.
Yeah. Now, it is funny that, you know, you say stand now, and, you know, I'm trying to protect my members, but I'm out there. My mouth roars. And what is really, really odd is we recently had that special election for Mark Sanford, and I guess because I am so vocal, one of my web pages had gotten taken down just 3 days before election.
Wow.
And it was a web page that I had close to 1,500 people on.
Wow.
And we were exchanging a lot of information, pulling in support for Mark Sanford. But 3 days before the election, it got taken down. Someone hacked into it. And then someone went into my Facebook page. And I'm saying, all right.
Wow, but, that's disturbing.
Yeah, it is. It is extremely disturbing because now when you say someone reading your emails,
yeah.
You know, I've got a Verizon phone. You know, how much of my information now is does the government have?
I know. I know. I think of the same thing. You know, I mean, you know, what kind of file do they have on me? What does it say? So.
Well, they got everything. I mean, let's be realistic. We'd like to think they don't, but they've got it all. And
yeah.
This has been going on. We handed them the baton, and that this stems back to George Bush's administration where we gave up these a awful lot of rights with thunderous applause, and here we are with all these abuses.
Yeah.
And it just this is and this is and this administration is so corrupt,
uh-huh.
And they have the media now. If you notice, all they're concentrating on is they're talking about whatever his name is running in Russia.
Oh, Snowden.
Just trying to avoid the IRS, the NSA. The fact of the matter is that this person basically. Is embarrassing pretty much every politician you see on TV right now. And that they know what's going on. There is a story that's being squashed, and Dianne Feinstein was aware of it, that an individual was wrote up and reprimanded for, like, listening to a sexting or a phone sex or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it clearly indicates that they're abusing the power which is given to them.
Right.
You know, and I'm sure there's all kinds of other whatever cloak and dagger stories, but this is really sad, and that's why the Tea Party is so vital.
I know.
Mean, the Tea Party is really made up of what you said. I liked your introduction where you said, "Well, I'm a homeschool teaching mom."
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's
yeah.
Tea Partiers are homeschool teaching moms, and they're retired veterans, and they're everything and anything. They're sewer cleaners. You know, that's what we are.
Yeah, exactly. We're just ordinary people that are just concerned about what's going on with our country.
No, we're conservatives, we're Tea Partiers, so that way it means we're gun-toting, God-loving, Bible-thumping people.
We're the bitter clingers.
Well, and the thing is with the school the boy at school, that's a local issue. The residents should have stormed that school board meeting.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Those school board members should have been sweating. Some of them should have been like crap in their pants with nervousness. You know, that taxpayers are not standing for this.
I know. Well, no. I mean, honestly, when I read this, you know, kind of an update on that story today, and I was just really concerned. I'm like, you know, what could we do? Is there anything we could do to try to, you know, help with the situation? Because you know what? If we don't stand up for this guy, what, you know, we're next. And, you know, so I don't know. I don't really have any good answers for that. If anybody does, please tell me.
No, it sounds like, you know, if he ends up with a really good lawyer, and there's a lot of conservative groups out there that, you know, specialize in these type of cases, he's
right.
got himself a really nice counter lawsuit for unlawful imprisonment, for infringing on his constitutional rights of free speech.
Yeah.
It there's a lot, I'm sure, and I'm sure someone's already talking to him. Maybe someone from FreedomWorks or, you know, even the ACLU should become involved in this. You know,
I know.
Simple free speech is something that they're supposed to be doing.
I know.
That guy's got more best friends than Hugh Hefner does right now.
They
can only be hoping they throw him in jail because that means a few extra dollars. But I think a lot of this is threats. We shall see what actually really happens.
Right. That's true. Wow.
Right. Yeah, I was looking at the timeline, and you know, it really amazes me how everyone can claim they had no idea this IRS scandal was going on because the IRS office in Cincinnati, that's the headquarters for the tax-exempt division. And IRS in Cincinnati contacted D.C. and had it run it through there. And then managers in D.C. as late, as early as April 1st, oh, this is great, April Fool's Day, 2010. April Fool's Day, oh, that's great. Sent a quote, sensitive case report, unquote, about the Tea Party cases up the chain in D.C. And then there was shared with two executives just 19 days later, which happens to be Lois Lerner.
Right.
And,
right.
And she is still on the payroll. She is still on the payroll.
No, it's such an outrage. And, you know, my husband works for a fairly large company, and he was just saying, you know, I can't even imagine if, you know, I had messed up and I get called into, you know, the head of the company, and he says, well, you know, tell me what happened. And and he were to say, well, I'm taking the fifth. I didn't do anything wrong, but I'm taking the fifth. You know, it's like, what? You know, your butt would be out the door so fast. I mean, you would be fired. And it's just such an outrage that these people who were supposed to be our public servants are behaving in this fashion, and they're getting away with it. And just to add insult to injury, just, you know, to see that, okay, you know, our little group with its, you know, couple thousand dollars a year in donations, which, again, I was furious when I was at the hearing, and one of the Democrats, you know, they were basically trying to say, well, you know, your groups are political, and you're taking money away from, you know, you're expecting the taxpayers to subsidize your groups and taking money away from families in need. And I was like, are you kidding me? So I was furious. I had to wait until, because you can't just speak out, you know. I had to wait till I finally asked a direct question, and then I said, well, before I answer that, let me address a couple of things. And I just said, I mean, you know, people who make donations to our group or pay dues, that's money that they've earned and they've already paid taxes on. You know, I mean, we're not getting any money from the taxpayers. I mean, what? You know, and so, you know, and it's like, I'm still having people tell me, well, if you're political, you should be taxed. I'm thinking, why? Isn't this our First Amendment right? If we want to say we're forming a little group and we're going to vet candidates and we're going to hold candidate forums and we're going to have speakers on different issues and have different elected officials in to speak to us and, you know, this sort of thing, and people want to make donations out of their own pockets, which are not tax deductible to a C-4, and then at the end of the year, if we've collected a couple thousand dollars, you expect us to now pay taxes on that money? What? You know, what is wrong with people's thinking that you could even think that was okay? You know, I just think we've strayed so far from our, I mean, don't we have a First Amendment right to do this? So
yeah, if you follow through that logic, every single politician then should be taxed at a higher rate than anyone else. The moment you declare yourself a part of a political party, then therefore you have to be taxed because now you're political.
Yeah.
It makes absolutely no sense.
I know. It doesn't. But a lot of these liberals are like, oh, well, good. I'm glad the IRS targeted them. And, oh, well, they shouldn't be doing this political stuff. And at the hearing, we were really shocked, those of us who were there as witnesses, that the Dems were going after us. You know, they were like, well, if you hadn't applied for this to begin with, you wouldn't have been asked any questions. Like, what? You know, I mean, you clowns are the ones who set up this whole system for all this 501 C4 and C3 crap, not us, you know, and we're just trying to follow what we're supposed to do by law. And what, you know, it's like if other groups who engage in political activities have this exemption, then why are we denied it? And at one point during the hearing, one of the Democrats asked, well, do you have a clear understanding of what a 501 C4 organization is? And I was like, oh, I'll be glad to answer that question. So I started reading him this list I had compiled of some 501 C4s, and he interrupted me before I could finish, but it was really funny because some of the – just to give you an example for your listeners, like ACLU, America Votes, Brady Campaign, California League of Conservation Voters, Citizens for Tax Justice, Gender Rights Maryland, Georgia Right to Life, National Transgender Advocacy Coalition, Healthcare for America Now. I mean, you get the point. I mean, these are all groups that you would say, well, they're political, right?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so this
is the big
this
one.
Is,
big one. Move
yeah,
on.
I mean, this
org.
Is what they this is how they set it up, but then we're like being like told like somehow we've done something wrong and we're like, these evil people because we've applied for 501c4 status. So again, the mind just boggles at what's happened here.
Well, they don't want to admit what happened. They,
right.
They're basically on the witness stand, and they're the little kids who have been caught stealing the candy bar.
Yeah.
And they're doing everything defensive because it's that simple. This is what they were doing. They violated our Constitution. They violated the law. They
yeah.
should be executed by Constitution.
Uh-huh.
And they're all crap in their pants. It's that simple. I mean, and Bill O'Reilly even made the comment, like, I think it was like 4 years in a row he got audited by the IRS.
Wow.
I forgot. You'd have to go back, but he mentioned, I mean, what, every other year he decide, okay, well, I got audited, now I'm going to rip off the government. I mean.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, the more this comes out, the more disturbing it is. And you know, honestly, for me, I'm so thankful. By the time we were getting the intrusive letter from the IRS, I already knew the groups were being targeted because I had been on a telephone call, conference call with Tea Party Patriots. And, you know, they were talking about the fact, okay, all these groups are being targeted, and, you know, they had some attorneys on the phone and this and that. And, you know, they said, okay, if you get this, you know, one of these letters, then contact the ACLJ. And, I mean, thank God for that, because if I had just gotten one of these letters and wasn't in contact with the other groups and didn't realize what was happening and didn't know, okay, I've got legal representation available for free, you know, I'm not sure what I would have done. You know, maybe just folded. Like, a lot of groups did fold, but, you know, so really that, just knowing the other people, you know, what was going on was really helpful for me, and I think that network is so important.
Yeah, it is. We got a caller in on the line. Let me see if I can bring this person in. Area code 702, you're on the air live with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
Hi, it's Jessie calling from Las Vegas.
Hi, Jessie. Jessie Weeks is with Unite the Vote. You have a question?
Well, first of all, I just wanted to express my appreciation for all folks that stand up. The message is so important, and I really heard what you said about isn't it wonderful that you're not alone. And when we start connecting and we start standing up and we recognize each other and we realize, oh, we can unite. I mean, we are we're standing on the principles that made America great. And I'll tell you, in all of that IRS debacle, right, that they say is being shut down. I'm not sure. They say a lot of things that make me go, I don't know. But the thing that chilled me, not only that it was conservative groups or Tea Party groups, but when I read the words that starting in, it was 2012, they expanded to include those groups that were educating on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights.
Yeah.
This frightened me, chilled me. I mean, I was stunned, because actually this is what I do.
Wow.
But I feel like, or our group does, right? We try to stand on principles before politics. This is, you know, we feel like we can unite a nation on principles.
Right.
But, you know, folks don't know about these founding principles, so it's an education process, right?
Yeah.
But the idea that our government would attack people that are simply trying to educate on the Constitution and the Bill of Rights,
yeah.
I mean, you can understand why. Mike, you mentioned, you know.
Whoops, hello?
I think her call dropped. Something happened
here.
No,
I think maybe she's lost the signal.
We may have lost Jessie. Oh, yeah, Jessie just dropped. Sorry about that.
I'm sure she'll call back. And, you know, that's something we kind of overlooked. I mean,
yeah.
The fact of the matter is, if you're going after people teaching what the Founding Fathers wrote and left for us, as well as many thousands and thousands of veterans have died for, that really explains what kind of people we have as our elected officials and people in charge. I mean, as I said before, they are so fortunate this is not the late 1700s or early 1800s. It would have been I mean, their trial would have lasted 15 minutes.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
I mean, there's the old saying where back in the day when they had the courtroom either in the little schoolhouse or in the bar or whatever, the judge before anything say, "Hey, Hal, run over to the hardware store and get the rope." And he's like, hear ye, they're now in session." They just do what?
They just
even before you, they're not even being apologetic, Diane. They're more or less on the defensive and on the attack.
Mm-hmm. Right.
All right, we got Jesse back. Jesse, your call dropped before. You were in mid-sentence.
Oh, I don't know where I got dropped, but maybe somebody was listening and didn't like the fact that I was wanting people to learn about the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. You know, it's not the first time I've been silenced.
Wow.
And it probably won't be the last time, but that's all right.
Is that a microphone?
You know, what was I going to say? Oh, yeah, the idea that you're trying to educate and let people know, you know, the Constitution is actually the document that governs government. So no wonder government doesn't want we the people to understand this fact, right? We know that it's happening through schools. We know that it's happening, I mean, with the little spins on how things are talked about, right? It positions that the government gives us our rights and therefore... You know, and the whole thing, they want us to be ignorant and so that we don't acknowledge that, you know, it's the Constitution that governs government. It doesn't govern us. We're governed by civil and criminal law, not by a constitution. And this is a message that is so fundamental that, you know, it's incredible. So anyway, I just wanted to call in and let you guys know that and let you know that whatever I can do to support anybody who's trying to get the message out on principles, I am there. We're working with a lot of different groups and trying to get folks to speak together because I think that that's the thing. You know, we're in a whole bunch of different little small groups and that we're not united on a message and a methodology where ordinary people that don't want to get involved in politics, right, but they do want to stand for the principles of America, you know, we need to find them ways that they can do it easily. And that's kind of what we're working on. But with, you know, all the Tea Party, there's so many groups out there. There's a lot of people out there that are trying to stand for America.
Okay.
And you're right. The time is now. We have to do that. And
yeah.
One last thing. I was talking to my father. I talked to him every night, right, just to check in. You know, are you okay? I'm okay. That kind of thing. Love you. Have a good night. He's 89, or he'll be 89 in a couple weeks. Immigrant to America from England. He's done very well in his life, but even he, you know, he gets worried. He's like, "Jesse, I just really don't want you involved in this politics thing. You really need to, this is not the time. This
wow.
is the time you need to be quiet." Right?
Wow.
And he's a very smart and wise man, and I understand. His is the fear for his daughter.
Right.
Right? So he's concerned about me. My response is, and he, of course, he doesn't like this response, and I say, you know, the Jews tried that strategy about just, you know, not speaking up and not standing up, and it didn't work out well for them.
That's right.
I say, Dad, I love you. You've got probably another 10 years on the planet. What about me? You know, you'll be left from the planet, and I still have to deal with this mess.
That's
your
right.
grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, your great-great-grandchildren, because we have 5 generations on the planet right now.
Wow.
That's so busy man since he arrived in America. Anyway, I want to continue to listen and learn from you, but that's just the message I wanted to get out. And, again, to thank you, Diane, for standing.
Stay on, Jesse, you don't have to go. Stay on. You don't have to hang up.
No, as a matter of fact, Diane, next week on Tuesday, Jesse's going to be joining us with 2 other friends I made on LinkedIn, and the show is about something that a question that was posted. If you were president, what would the 10 principles in your platform be? And that Jesse, how many responses do you have up there? Last I saw was almost 400.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's in that group. We also went outside the group and we consolidated it. But just for my scheduling purposes, and I think it's Friday, not next Tuesday.
Oh, all right, the 28th. Yeah, this Friday. This Friday.
Yeah, this Friday.
And you know something that Jesse just said, that Diane, this probably drove them crazy when they get to interrogate you on top of this. You homeschool.
Yeah.
Who the hell are you? How dare you? I mean, who in the hell are you to educate your children the way you want them to be educated?
Yeah.
You got to let them educate them for you.
I know.
It's a never-ending facade of it must be government, always, every time. I don't know if any of you got a chance to see, I had mentioned earlier about Diane Feinstein. She was making her rounds on Sunday, and all she kept talking about was this guy and what a criminal he is, and blah, 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 never once saying that it's wrong that what they did, never wrong, of course, because they don't believe it's wrong.
Yeah.
And here I have about as much love for most Republicans as I do Democrats nowadays. But, I mean, the Democrats are such manipulative liars. Here's this lady who so pretends she cared about gay rights when nobody cared about the gays. She cared about civil rights when no one cared about civil rights. Yet she's saying government trumps everybody's rights, including constitutional.
Wow.
That is unconscionable. I mean, that guy in Feinstein is nothing more than a lying rattlesnake and backstabbing, blah, blah, blah.
Can I interject something? I learned a few new words yesterday. One of them is called Talraya. I'll post it in your chat room. It's the art of not lying. The reason why I learned this word, right, because there are certain things that the left says, that the words are put together in a very crafty way, and I always think, you know, and the results are, of course, the opposite of what is said. So hence brings up the thing, they're lying. Well, I found this word, and I'll put the link up in a minute, but what it Talraya means, and this is from Muslim scholars. I was trying to find out the question, you know, is it really true that that a Muslim could lie to an infidel? You know, I hear that every now and then, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And apparently it's not actually true. Muslims are not really allowed to lie to anyone except for in three specific instances that are really kind of unrelated. However, this is the interesting point. However, Talraya is a doctrine that allows lying in virtually all circumstances, provided the liar is creative enough to articulate his deceit in a way that is technically true.
Oh, my gosh.
Like I said, I'll put this up in the link in a minute. I'm probably about to be, you know, dropped from Blog Talk again, but... The reason why I was pursuing this, you know, education to kind of, you know, fact check, you know, are lies legal, right?
Yeah.
And in our society, in America, you know, of course, deception is a sin, right? If you deliberately deceive, but maybe in some other lines of thought and cultures that deception is, you know, as long as it's technically true. But a few of the things that made me want to pursue this education on Talraya is during the DNC last year, they used some words, they put it together, and it was their economic platform was based on a middle class out strategy. And, of course, we know that the middle class is shrinking. So, yes, we are being outed. Mm-hmm. But they presented that as a good thing.
Wow.
You know, then I wonder if this Talraya philosophy, right? So, you know, they're telling you the truth that the middle class out. I mean, this is just my opinion, right? The Talraya is not my opinion. It is a fact. But when you look at some of the language that's used, like in the beginning when, you know, the campaign was about Transform America, it was presented to us as a good thing.
Yeah.
And we, you know, the majority of folks, even on the left, you know, they just thought, oh, yeah, this is what we need. But I think now we're seeing a trend where people are being able to sort of kick the tires and look and say, oh, well, yeah, the middle class is shrinking, and so maybe we are being outed.
Wow.
That's all I have to say.
Well, I came across something interesting just yesterday. Pew has a new poll out, and the survey finds that the one-word impressions people have of Obama have changed a great deal throughout his presidency. Terms like incompetent and liar are now among the most frequently used to describe Obama. His approval rating in 2009 was 63%. It is now down to 42%.
Wow. Of course, so, it still staggers me that 42% could think he's, you know, doing a good job. But
well, the way he's hiring government, 42% are probably the people that were interrogating you guys for doing nothing, for doing nothing but supporting your rights.
Yeah.
You know, if I were you, I would have brought your kids, or I don't know how many children you have, to the hearing, so they could recite the Declaration of Independence for these scumbags that, for some reason or another, believe that people like us, you know, are somehow we're doing the country a disservice by defending the Constitution. You know, verbally defending the Constitution is the least we can do for those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice and fighting and dying for the Constitution.
Yeah, that's right.
I mean, it is such an outrage. And it, you know, if you think about it, I mean, homeschooling is growing in leaps and bounds.
Yeah.
A lot of these parents are not even really trusting the charter schools, because many of the schools are now using that label charter just as to fool people, thinking somehow it is some sort of charter or independent type, when it's not. It's just another one of those. The lights are nice, the chairs are sweet, the teachers are kind, but the curriculum is as evil as as the Garden of Eden.
I was told by an administrator up in Washington State, you know, when we were talking about the issue of Common Core, he made this announcement to me that the charter schools and the, you know, public schools really aren't that different. What you need to look at is, do they get federal funding? And if they get federal funding, if they're not at, like, a private school, right, if they accept any federal funding, then they're pretty much included into the Common Core curriculum.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
Oh, yeah.
And, Diane, you took some heat about a comment you made about Common Core. And I thought it was funny, and I came to your defense.
Yeah.
You noticed.
Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Go ahead. No, you go ahead, Di. As soon as you answer, let's start with Jesse and move our way up on the Supreme Court decision on the Voting Act. But go ahead. Finish, Di.
Oh, well, just, you know, I'm also first vice chair of the Lawrence County Republican Party, and we were having a speaker last night, Sherry Few, who's been traveling around the state speaking about the Common Core. And by the way, if any groups, anybody out there listening in South Carolina wants to have her speak, she was excellent. She does a PowerPoint presentation. So anyways, I had posted that she was going to be speaking, and I just, you know, for the sake of brevity, I just put, she was speaking about Common Core, and I put in parentheses, communism repackaged for school children. Well, apparently then that was considered inflammatory and, you know, whatever, and some people got bent out of shape on the Facebook page because I said that. And, you know, but it is what it is. So, you know, I mean, to me, if you have education controlled by the federal government and the states are completely out of it, which is what Common Core does, the teachers and parents have no input or control. You have an intrusive data collection being kept by the states on every student and turned over to the feds, including your political affiliation and religious affiliation, and the students are being prepared to be global citizens. You know, so that's just kind of, for starters, what's wrong with Common Core. But, yeah, so that was just kind of interesting, so people were complaining. But the meeting went really well last night. It didn't seem like any of the complainers were there, and everybody was on board. And I think, you know, as you listen to this presentation, the gravity of what's happening in our schools, it just grips you, and it's like, this is really scary. And I said to my husband on the way home last night, I was like, you know, I just feel like there's, it's almost like a floodgate or an avalanche has just been opened, and it's not, I mean, it's our schools, I mean, it's just everything. You know, it's the EPA, it's, you know, the IRS, it's just, you know, on, and you're trying to fight all these battles at once, but basically once Obama got in power, he appointed all of these radical leftists in positions of power, and now this is just the, you know, this is the outcome of all this.
Yeah, we've had Sherry Few here on as a guest on the show, and I put up in the chat room her website, which is SCPIE, which stands for South Carolina Parents Involved in Education, SCPIE.com. It's a great website. If you don't know about Common Core, take a look at her website. It will open your eyes. The names of the people that are connected to it just will flabbergast you. She is fantastic. She is absolutely fantastic. You know.
Yeah.
Thanks for putting up the link on that. I have a question on your meeting. Were some, because I've been trying to, you know, our group has been trying to get the message out on Common Core.
Yeah.
And one of the most successful strategies we've had, including, you know, working on it here in the state of Nevada, is that the cost of Common Core, see, this is only the initial rollout, right?
Oh, right, right.
And so the states, you know, they get like a one-time payment. But I think like in Nevada, it's a couple billion dollars that are going to be on the backs of the taxpayers.
Yeah.
Yet as this is rolled out, nobody knows it. And this is a way that we can get people, you know, sort of active. It's like, hey, wait, you know, that much money, we need to vote on this. We need to know about this. Was that talked about?
Yeah, because basically this is like an unfunded mandate, and it could be a couple billion dollars just to do all the testing you have to do, not even all the other stuff to implement it. And so I think the strategy is, because there was four states that flat out refused it to begin with, and then there's another handful that are fighting it. But I think what we're trying to do is like you get your legislator to like defund it, basically, like we're not funding this, you know. To stop it, because again, the states are going to have to come up with just huge, huge amounts of money. So, you know, it's definitely a battle, and you know, we need to really be aware of what's going on and get in the fight on that. So,
well, one of the reasons it's gone this far is because we haven't been in the fight. We should have been in it from the, you know, shoulda, woulda, coulda, but we should have been in it from the start.
Right.
If you look at these whack jobs. I mean, a perfect example is I've mentioned Dianne Feinstein like four times already. But since she was mayor of San Francisco, they are well organized. They are large in numbers. They raise money. They were the first in networking, reaching out in every way, shape, or form. They were underneath Mother Teresa's dress. I mean, they know what they're doing.
Right.
And we're sometimes we tend to get a little more wrapped up in those things that are very, very important to us, but because they're so important to us, our passion sometimes doesn't make time, and we have to, because we see what's happening, we see what's taking place when we don't, and this is only scratching the surface.
I know.
If this was really in depth before this dude took off, left the country, and one of the reasons, obviously, those countries are harboring him is he has information on those countries, which probably goes back way further than George Bush being president, as far as us spying on them. And, you know, these are the things that happen. And, you know, Ben Franklin, who, we're told, you know, he was a slave trader and a racist and everything, made the comment, those who will give up liberties for temporary securities deserve neither.
Right.
And the more we move towards this type of socialist/communist state, the more those founding fathers knew exactly what was taking place, and the more they sound like absolute founding fathers to me.
All right. We got another caller on the line, and this is a fellow South Carolinian. You're on the air live with Southern Sense. Who am I speaking to?
This is Joe Dugan.
Hi,
hey,
Joe. How you doing?
How are y'all doing?
Good.
All right.
Too bad we don't have a trumpet. Joe the King is here. We can't play the trumpet.
Well, Joe's with the South Carolina.
I saw that Dianne was going to be on today, and I just had to call in.
Aww.
She has done such a fabulous job for us, speaking up for all of us in South Carolina and throughout the country in her testimony about the IRS.
Oh, she, thank you, Joe.
Really,
Joe,
Diane.
Joe, did you have any of these problems when you guys incorporated?
Yes, we did. We were also targeted by the IRS, and next month it will be 3 years since we filed our application, and we still had not been approved.
Yeah, we're like in the same boat.
Yeah.
So.
We are also being represented by the ACLJ for our 501c4 status, as well as the new lawsuit that they have filed against the IRS for violation of our First and Fifth Amendment rights.
Oh, good for you. Now,
what kind of question is that to Joe? Are you Joe's as outspoken as they come? They probably, once they got his application, put it right at the bottom of the pile.
Well, I hope that's not true.
Well, you know, Joe, they don't like the people who defend themselves. They like, it's just, sadly, this is how they operate. And we just, as a country, as a whole, we need more Southern Sense radio shows. All of you should have your own show and your own. And I mean, we need to shake down the thunder. A real good example. I was at a rally for right to work, and I'm against right to work because here in Michigan it forms another layer of government. And I made the comment to a bunch of my intelligent Republican friends: an entrepreneur, why in the hell does he need a person from the state to sit with him while he's collective bargaining? He or she can do it themselves. I mean, they started their own business, so where is it that the government needs a chair next to them? And they said, here's a sign, carry it. Well, the sign had two poster boards on the side, and they were stapled. So I pulled the two signs off, and I grabbed the club that it was holding on. I said, let's go. And I mean, this is exactly we need to take our country back. And these people, the way they do it so connivingly with these bills, the Building and Grounds Act, the Patriot, all these nice labels and names. And basically what it is, it's exactly what we're all talking about here. Why Di has to go before before a hearing. Why Joe is waiting 3 years, so he can start his organization legally.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's just never ending. And after the show, I'm sure I'll be arrested.
You know, what I found fascinating about the hearings, because Mueller, who's in charge of the FBI, was there before Congress testifying, and he was asked, has any of the victims been interviewed? I don't know. Who's in charge of the investigation? I don't know. Where are you in the investigation? I don't know. What do you know? All they're doing is just doing delay tactics, so we end up with another situation just like Fast and Furious.
Yeah.
You know, it's been almost 3 years now with Fast and Furious, and we've still got nowhere. It's been 10 months with Benghazi, and we have gotten nowhere. It's been three
right.
years for you guys, and we are still nowhere. And that's the only thing this administration knows how to do.
Yeah, it's just complete stonewalling, and it's just unbelievable. And, in fact, Joe was there the day we were in D.C. a couple of weeks before the hearing, and we sat in when Steve Miller was being interviewed, and it was just the same thing. I don't know. I don't remember. And then do you remember, Joe, when they asked him, would you turn over your emails and your phone records, and he was like, no. It's like, well, I had to turn over my emails.
Right. Exactly, Diane.
You know, exactly. So it's just a total outrage.
Right.
I don't think we really have to. They work for us. Even
I know.
Even the people that are appointed, they are appointed by the servants.
Well, I know.
We shouldn't have to ask.
I know.
Public record.
That's right. And also, Joe, have you been contacted by the FBI? Because I haven't.
No, I certainly have not.
Yeah,
so
they haven't contacted either of us.
No, but it's really you know, it's really ironic that that we had not been contacted, and yet what you say is exactly true, that we're waiting so long for approval, and they're just not doing their job. If their job is, in fact, to screen these groups.
Yeah, no, I find it amazing because our state senator, Lindsey Graham, has been oddly silent about this whole thing, and he's yeah. also supportive of the NSA. So I noticed up on Facebook and various petitions have been going out to him saying, hey, Lindsey Graham, give me your email password.
Yes, I've seen that. Yeah, actually, like Tim Scott's office, they contacted me. Of course, Jeff Duncan, my representative, was just absolutely wonderful, you know, totally supportive, sent someone to pick me up at the airport and just, you know, everything was there during my testimony and so on. But Lindsey Graham, we've heard nothing, although, you know, now that I think about it, you know, we had our group instituted a censure of him when he voted for Kagan a couple years ago, and I think Myrtle Beach Tea Party signed on to that censure. We got like about 20 groups statewide who signed on. So ever since then, he hasn't had much to do with us. So he was probably glad that we're being harassed.
Well, my phone calls to his office do not even get picked up anymore. Much less any of my emails or messages answered. Because I got quoted in Politico that we would be actively working to send him packing. And since then, I've been quoted quite a bit about that. Matter of fact, we had Justin Phillips on the show the other day, and I asked him if he would be working with us in the state to help get a good candidate there to challenge Lindsey Graham. So, Joe, I think this is something that we've got to get all the groups together and you know, get ourselves at least two strong people out there.
Well,
that's
this
right.
This is another reason, Annie, why we really need to become much more active as groups.
Yes.
If we receive 501c4 status, you are permitted to engage in a certain amount of campaign activity. It has to be, I think, less than 5 or 10% of your total overall activity. So we really need to spike up our total overall activity so that 5 or 10% that we're able to be involved in campaigns will become a much larger portion of our will give us so much more time to campaign for the candidate that runs in the primary against Lindsey.
Mm-hmm.
Because
yeah,
I guess if you're campaigning even against the Republican, you fall under those rules in the 501c4 that it has to be in a small amount.
I think it just can't be the only thing you do or the bulk of it. But you know, even for their guidelines are really vague, so it's hard to really know. Maybe we'll have more clarification here soon.
But I cannot wait until I show them how nonpartisan I am.
Oh yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Because we are nonpartisan.
Absolutely nonpartisan.
That's right.
That's the thing. That's one of the reasons that they hate the Tea Party so much.
Yes.
If you think about it, the Tea Party is made up of all kinds. Not only this, an abundance of Tea Partier are retired union people who served in the service, and it's all us peasants. It's all the you know, everything they want to eliminate. The labor worker, the school teacher, the stay-at-home mom, the dad with two jobs, the private school-type people, everything that government doesn't like except the money that these people make that they can tax you on.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
The pest, as I like to call it.
Hey, Mike wanted to bring up this recent Supreme Court ruling that just came across yesterday on the Shelby County, Alabama versus Eric Holder, where they ruled Section 4 of the Voting Rights Act of 1965 as unconstitutional. That's great news for this state.
Yes.
It certainly is.
That's great news for all of us. Less government and whatever it is, and allowing locals to do whatever is best.
Yeah.
No, let's remember, there are an awful lot of communities nobody believes in discrimination. I mean, most people don't believe that it's right. Most people believe that the way people were treated back then, of all kinds, whether it's color, religious bigotry seems to be overlooked in history. But
yeah.
but the fact is, you put it in the hands of the local and let the people decide on it. It's that
right.
It's that simple.
That's right.
And tomorrow, there's an announcement. Tomorrow they will rule on both DOMA and Prop 8. I forgot who versus who, but the real rulings will take place, I believe, at 11 a.m.
Wow.
You know,
so, but anyway, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt the subject. Joe, you want to give us your opinion on the ruling that came down?
Yeah, it's, I mean, how many years are they going to pick winners and losers that have to stand in the corner? I mean, we've been standing in the corner for 50 years. Isn't
mm-hmm.
that punishment enough?
Yeah,
absolutely. And we've got that new law, the voter ID law, and believe it or not, Project 21, the very group that the Democrats are saying are going to be victimized in this voter ID law, Project 21 is the one that supported the Shelby County, Alabama side of the argument.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons this is being quelled is because an awful lot of today's modern day black people, Negroes, whatever you want to label them, say 25 and under, they don't believe in this, and they've not been discriminated. And in changing generations, we have a generation up and coming that is almost completely colorblind, and that drives these poverty pimps crazy. Because
mm-hmm.
Jesse Jackson, the NAACP itself in members is imploding, and all these other type organizations. Because basically, I'm not sure the word I'm looking for, but there's basically it is losing ground as far as affirmative action that had its support is not, and the people that you would of yesterday that supported it, their kids and grandkids are not. And this drives liberals absolutely beyond crazy. They're still liberal in political thinking, but they don't believe in discrimination.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and one has to really wonder why they focus so much on an issue like this, and then you look at the issue that the Senate passed yesterday with amnesty. That's going to hurt the poorest of our country.
That's
when,
right.
When we granted amnesty to these illegal aliens, and there are folks stepping up, black people stepping up in opposition to this amnesty vote, but they get buried in you know the last column of the newspaper like the Tea Party does. You know, if it were any other issue, those same people would be on the front page. But because it's amnesty, they're relegated to the fine print.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Audit the Fed rally that we just had in Washington. It was such a great rally, and we got to meet so many wonderful people.
Mm-hmm.
One of the people that I met there was K. Carl Smith, who is with the Frederick Douglass Republicans. And
oh, wow.
What a wonderful group that is. Frederick Douglass, of course, had respect for the Constitution, respect for life, and belief in limited government and belief in individual responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Those were his life-empowering values. And this is the second person from that organization that I have met in recent months, and I just think it's wonderful that that they're hearing another side of the story about such great people in black history as Frederick Douglass.
Yeah.
We've had people on from Project 21. We've had Niger Innes on also. I noticed that, you know, because they're finding it that they can't shut us up, they're using other stealth tactics. And I don't know if you heard about this one. This was up in Breitbart News. Democrats in Maryland accused local Tea Partiers of having violent tendencies. So they went to local law enforcement and said, we're having this event. It was a town hall with Chris Van Hollen, who happens to be the ranking member of the House Budget Committee. And it was at a local community college. So they went up to campus police, and they also went up to the local law enforcement. And they said, we have this event going on, this town hall, but these people, it's called We the People, a local Tea Party, they're violent. You got to ban them. And that's what they did.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
Yeah, the Carroll County Democratic Party did this. And,
wow.
Yeah. Well, I know you saw you Hellraisers down there, the Tea Party, here's all them grandmas and all these seniors with walkers and in strollers, a part of the Tea Party. And you know, this is it would, if it weren't so serious, it really would be funny.
Yeah.
Because these people make absolutely no sense, and still to this day, the Tea Partiers were racists, were
right.
Everything that is bad with labels in the names coming from whom. Those who want to stay in power.
Right.
You know, and
that's simple.
It is such a stark difference. When you see, like the Audit the Fed rally, where we had busloads of people coming up from South Carolina. Now, these people got up at I don't know what hour, to meet a bus that was leaving at 1:30 a.m. from Myrtle Beach. Drove all through the night, picked up more patriots in North Carolina, arrived in Washington about 10 in the morning, and then got attended the rally, listened to all the tremendous speakers that were there, and then got back on the bus at 5 o'clock and drove all through the night again. They got home at 4 a.m.
Wow.
And it was just nonstop for them. And these aren't necessarily young people. It to sit on a bus for 16 hours to go to a 3-hour event, to me, is awesome and inspiring.
That's right. That's real dedication.
It really is. You know, and these weren't paid by any unions to go on these buses.
Yes, that's right.
No, but they're union, a lot of them, they're still paying dues because they're retirees. They're still pay. They're getting embezzled by an awful lot of the administration. One of the most amazing things I think about Tea Partiers, if you really stop to think about it, I like to toot our horn because I've learned a lot from people of the Tea Party. When a platoon comes home after serving sometimes up to 5 or 6 tours of duty, it is Tea Partiers that meet them, having never met them. If a person needs rehabilitation or is suffering from postpartum, which we know now is in very larger numbers than we originally suspected.
You mean PTSD?
It is Tea Partiers that are always there to volunteer, to give of their time, what they can do financially. But if the next door neighbor is hungry and out of work, I'm exaggerating the story, but I'm not, because it is those of the Tea Party that are some of the most unselfish human beings that really are fighting so the generations below us can have the freedoms and liberties that these people are fighting for day in and day out in our war on terror. I tend to think when he announced the war on terror, it was more or less the war on 50 states than it was the war on anything else. But realistically, I mean, it is. I don't know of one Tea Party member that has caused a problem anywhere, and I go everywhere, other than my own big mouth. But I mean, I've never seen at any of our rallies. I've never seen any. Anything out of the norm.
I know. Same here.
Yeah, we've had that too. But we've had people infiltrate we've had people infiltrate, but we've always had security there so that they're quietly escorted away, and they cause as least amount of disruption ever.
And when we leave the place,
it's cleaner than when we got there.
Right.
Yes, very much so, Annie. And on top of it, I mean, if you really think about it, think of a Tea Party rally. Think of just 10 people you know in the Tea Party. How many of them have been in jail repeatedly, or are drug addicts, or alcoholics? You know, other than maybe having some marriage issues or whatever, they're just good people.
Mm-hmm.
They're just plain good people. Not to mention, I'll tell you something. I got Democratic friends, I got Republican friends, I go to all. The Tea Party females are so much hotter than any of those other parties, let me tell you. That goes for you, Di, and you, Annie. Man, we put them to shame.
Speaking of hot babe, if anyone wants to know where Jessie was, she had her run, so she's listening in the chat room, but Jessie had to leave us. Now, Joe, you were mentioning the audit the IRS, and I wasn't able to make that. You know, basically, I'm physically disabled, so for me to make a trip like that is extremely painful. But I came across this article that there was recently, right after you had the rally, this was published, Treasury Inspector General's semi-annual report to Congress. And they came up with 8 different locations where $79 million went to the same address, just 8 different addresses.
Right.
But these were refunds to illegal aliens.
Yes.
And they call them unauthorized alien workers.
Right.
8 addresses.
Insane.
And the top amount went to one address in Atlanta, Georgia, and it was $46,378.40 to one address.
Shameful.
Wow.
And they're wondering why we want the IRS audited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this, I mean, that's
same IRS.
An outrage.
Same IRS that was protecting you, a law-abiding individual, a law-abiding group that wants to do anything by the book and by the law, but to these unauthorized alien workers they call, hello, can you say illegal?
Yeah.
Refund.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a scam.
Right. They can ask us for a list of all of our members, all of our paid, unpaid volunteers, all of our donors, all of our sponsors, but they can't ask those addresses for W-2 forms.
Yeah.
It doesn't dawn on them that they're sending out 23,994 tax refunds to a single address in Atlanta, Georgia.
It's insane.
Yeah, and who is the mailman?
Yeah.
Who is the mailman delivering all those checks?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, we know. It's kind of like John Doe, who's running for office, who's received an awful lot of whatever the maximum donations are, all to the same address, but apartment 1A, apartment 2A, and it goes to apartment 3B. My friend and I did that. We saw that they had to post this online. So we drove down, and it's an apartment complex where every single apartment donated the maximum amount to somebody, to this John Doe. I looked at my friend. He shook his head. He said, maybe they're all females, and he's some good-looking guy or something. I said, like, you know, politics is dirty. And, you know, look who owns that building. I'd be willing to bet you anything. It's someone affiliated with the IRS where they use that address. Because if you really think about it nowadays, everyone, as sad as it is to say, getting a check in the mail for your refund is almost a dying breed. It's almost a huge percentage do it electronically now.
Mm-hmm.
So one building would get all checks. I mean, the chances of that are zero.
Right, and the chances are that this would be actually taxes that were withheld from wages are close to zero as well. It's much more likely that these were tax credits, whether they were child care tax credits or earned income tax credits.
Mm.
And that's the only way I can see that you get the $46 million in one location like that.
Yeah,
that,
but the IRS is giving IRS is giving individual taxpayer identification numbers to illegal aliens. Under the explanation is that they want them to comply with the law.
Oh, my gosh.
But, hello, you want them to comply with the law, but they're illegal aliens. So they're already not in compliance to the law. And then you hear the argument from the left that, oh, they're paying into Social Security. No, because you're sending them refunds to these bogus addresses. They're not paying taxes.
Oh, my gosh.
The stupidity I find that is rampant in the bureaucracy, it just leaves me shaking my head. And if anyone's hearing rocks rattle, that is my head right now shaking back and forth.
Well, as I've been saying for a couple of years, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
No, and right. It's time everyone starts getting outraged. Well, Diane, we had a blast. We're down to our last 4.5 minutes. And Joe, thank you so much for joining us. I want to thank Jessie also when she had called in too. Joe, you know, always, always welcome back onto the show. And you and Diane may be interested that on Friday we started a conversation. Actually, Doug Levy started a conversation up on LinkedIn. If you were to run for president, what would be the 10 points of your platform? And Jesse and Beverly Farrar have collected hundreds upon hundreds of responses, and we're going to have a huge discussion about that on Friday. I mean, it was a question he just threw out there, and all of a sudden it took off like wildfire. So, you know, why don't you come back on Friday and join our panel?
Well, we'd love to.
Well, yeah, I don't know if I can do it Friday, but I'll try to listen in if I can.
All right. Well, I want to thank
you
very
much. If not, spread the word, please. Tell
okay.
Oh, yeah, we'll spread the word.
Before we let you guys go, just so everyone knows, my first business of duty, once I say so help me God, I'd grab one of those 8x8 chairs, I'd grab one of my gavels, and the first trial against Eric Holder would now be in session. Standing right up there, that way he would be the first. Second, while we're searching for the president, because he'd be on the lam somewhere. Joe Biden would be next.
Well, I wish you could do it.
Anyway, thank you both. It's definitely been great. Diane, keep up the good fight.
Okay,
you know,
thank you.
It's moms like you that are going to seem to win the war, since sadly an awful lot of guys are wearing diapers nowadays.
No insult to you, Joe.
Oh, gosh. All right. Well, thanks so much for having me on the show. It was really fun, and I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you so much.
I'm so glad that I was able to call in while Diane was still on.
Yeah, you
know,
thanks, Joe,
the first time Annie mentioned your name, and she said, yeah, Joe's a friend of mine. And I said, you kidding me? Joe Dugan? I said, the New York Yankee? I was like flipping out because Annie's from New York, so I was thinking like, oh my God. Hey, she said no. I was like, oh, not that I'm disappointed at all, Joe. We love you.
Oh gosh.
Well, I think your show is absolutely fabulous. And you hit the nail on the head earlier when you said there should be more of them. We should have shows like yours all over the country, as you said.
Yeah, well, you know, when you have your tea party meetings in the living room, make it a Blog Talk Radio show.
I mean, there you go.
Around, and everyone needs their cell phone. And you know what? We need to be as innovative as all the Democrats are so good at all this. They're in JFK's casket. We need to do the same thing.
Right.
Well, I doubt that they could match you guys. You're terrific.
Thank you.
Great job.
All righty, Annie, take it away. Thank you.
Thanks. All bye-bye. Right.
Bye-bye.
Joe Dugan from South Carolina Tea Party Coalition and Diane Belsom from the Lawrence County Tea Party. We've had a great show here. I wanted to thank our guests for joining us. And do come back with us on Friday. It'll be the same bat times. Same bat station when we have a roundtable discussion about what would your 10 points be if you were to run for president. And we're going to be joined by Jesse Weeks, Beverly Farrar, and Doug Levy on that one. And hopefully Joe and Diane will join us. So until then, good night and God bless to you all.
If you find yourself in trouble, count on me, my friend. I'll get right up in trouble.
You've been listening to Southern Sense Blog Talk Radio. Producer and your hostess extraordinaire is Ann Ubelis. The theme music, American Stand Up, is written and performed by Don Fortney. For more from Don, check out his webpage, teapartymusic.web.com. Southern Sense is a proud member of Ghost Fighter Radio and Freedom Media Network. Southern Sense is common sense. Take it out, Don.
American.
Stand up, let's make it loud, Americans.